Hello, and welcome to Data for All, a quest for digital autonomy, a podcast in which we bring you closer to the topic of municipal data sovereignty. This season of the podcast revolves around sustainable data solutions for citizens and companies. Looking at situations across Europe, we present facts, approaches, and reflections on how we can better understand and use data for the public good.
For Digital Autonomy, a podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, Schleswig-Holstein.
Hey, Gitte. Welcome to the Data for All podcast. I am very delighted that you have taken the time to talk to me here today. First of all, welcome.
Thank you very much, and you're welcome.
Yeah, I mean, you're not that far away from me, namely in Denmark, more precisely in the municipality of Vejle. What exactly do you do there?
I'm the project coordinator for the Data for All. I work in the Vejle municipality in the business service department, where we service companies and businesses in Vejle.
Yeah, perfect. And today we're talking a lot about data, and also how data is related to CO2 emissions and climate protection. Sure, you'll be able to explain exactly how this is connected. So, for example, when I come home after work around 5, 6 p.m., and I would prefer to pick up a book instead of continuing to watch my favorite series on Netflix, how exactly do I contribute to climate protection if I use a book instead of watching Netflix?
Well, first of all, there will be the energy consumption that you're reducing by taking up an analog item like a book. So obviously, there's no transmitting of data back and forth from the data centers around the world. You're not connected to the internet, and you're not using your power in your house. So there's a lot of ways you save the emissions by picking up a book, and you're using your head as well.
Yeah, of course. I've just heard, I think it was the owner of ChatGPT, who said that it's a high consumption if people say thank you and you're welcome to ChatGPT. So how high is the CO2 consumption and the energy consumption through the use of internet?
I can't really say about the internet per se, but I can say that the study that the University of Copenhagen made a couple of years ago, that for every prompt that you're inputting in the ChatGPT, it was equal to 40 charges of your cell phone. That was only one prompt. I know that they have optimized not only the ChatGPT coding, but also the way that it utilizes the machine learning systems behind it. So I know the whole setup has changed quite a lot. So it's probably not that much anymore. And in more of that, there's a lot more green energy now than there was a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember the first phone I had when I was young. I think we had to charge it every 3 or 4 days. Now this would be kind of impossible because you need to charge it once a day, probably during night. So is this also the result of our modern society, that we use more and more energy?
That's obviously connected to the technology and the technological advancements in general. I mean, we're digitalizing everything and everywhere. We are optimizing our processes because we think everything takes a long time. So we are trying to optimize the not only our work time, but also our free time. That means that we are we're thinking very convenient. So the easier it is for us, the more we will use it. And that means adopting technologies in some form or the other. I mean, everything is connected today, more or less, depending if you live analog or off the grid, but otherwise everything is connected.
Just looking from the individual perspective now, how can an individual help to ensure that he or she uses the internet and also the data more effectively? So to dispense with the internet is probably not an option for everyone, just not to use it, but are there ways to use it in a better way, in a less energy consumption?
Well, I don't know if you're aware of the Digital Cleanup Day that is every March, every year. It's an initiative, I think, based in France, and it's connected to the Environmental Cleanup Day as well.
We'll get back to the interview shortly, but first a quick break with this episode's InfoBox. Did you know that digital data also consumes energy? And that's also true of the data that we don't even need. Old emails, duplicate photos, unnecessary files, or outdated cloud backups are stored on servers that constantly require electricity. Electricity that is often generated from unsustainable sources. And this is where something called the Digital Cleanup Day comes in. It's an international day of action that takes place every year in March. Its goal? To get rid of digital clutter, save energy, and help protect the climate. But you don't have to wait for a special occasion to tidy up your digital data. Regularly cleaning out your digital files not only frees up space, it also brings clarity and organization to your everyday life. Since its launch in 2020, 175 countries have already taken part in Digital Cleanup Day. Nearly 1.2 million people have deleted more than 14.5 million gigabytes of data, preventing the equivalent of 3.6 tons of CO2 emissions every year. And with that, let's get back to the conversation.
There's a lot of advice you can find there, how to optimize your presence online to reduce your emissions. And that is things like deactivating your Bluetooth if not needed, disconnect from the Wi-Fi, that takes a lot of energy. Actually shut off your Wi-Fi during the night, that's also better for your biology and your body. There are some discussions about the damage of that, but anyway, so in general, remember to shut off the things you don't need, even shut off your phone if you can during the night, that would be really good. So a really good idea just to reduce emissions in general, shut off energy where it's not needed, all appliances, everything, like your coffee maker. I'm sure you don't think about it on your daily life, but that actually uses quite a lot of energy yearly if it's connected all the time. So just have a disruptor, or you can unplug it when you leave the house. That will save you money and emissions as well.
Yeah, perfect. I think that's something I should do, because we do have a coffee machine that is probably always plugged in. But yeah, always great to hear some advice from experts like you. So all the data, for example, that we use, the website storages, they are stored in huge data centers. I mean, we have probably all somehow seen pictures of those huge servers, and they have to be extremely cooled, and they do produce emissions, among other things. So the data centers in Denmark, they are on the way to become carbon emission free. So greener and greener and greener over the years.
I think all of them have set the goal of 2030, where they have to be net zero. Yeah.
So how exactly does it work? I mean, what are like points, for example, the cooling? What are points where you say, okay, this is a way to get a data center greener?
Well, one thing that I know Microsoft, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention big tech, but one of the big tech companies are using the cooling, the water that they use for cooling the systems. They're using it for household heating or reusing the hot water, which is actually, they save a lot of energy on that account alone. That, I think, not only do they use the green power, you know, like sustainable energy sources to power their whole center, but they're also reusing the things like the water as reheated water for the households. I can say that Microsoft chose Denmark in Zealand for the green, completely green data centers, and they are just about more or less. I mean, they use only green energy by now, but they are not net zero yet. They will actually go net negative in 2030. So they are already doing a lot of work. But a lot of the big tech giants, they need to think about the data center energy consumption, because we as citizens of the world, we're becoming more aware of what it costs when we use this technology and the online presence, how much it costs in emissions. We also begin to demand that we get greener solutions, and we inquire a lot more of, you know, how much, what is the carbon footprint of this and that and the other. So that is really good. Awareness is the key.
Yeah, I mean, awareness is the point where everything starts. So you can only do something if you are aware about it.
And just think about every time you send an email, for instance, every time you attach something instead of sending a link, that costs you extra on the carbon footprint. So, and it's actually quite a lot, especially when you think about a municipality, for instance, where you have 10,000 employees. If you just like estimate like half of them will send one email per day, and if every 10 of those will send an attachment of like a megabyte, that will cost you like a half a ton of emissions yearly only for that one thing. So I'm just saying that we have to, in our behavior, our digital behavior, we have to consider everything we do, because we can optimize the way we do things just in our daily life to actually make it greener future.
Yeah, interesting. So now we talked a little bit about the data centers in Denmark, and we become more specific now because you're working in Vejle, and you are dealing with the issue of CO2 emissions through the use of data in the municipality. For example, if I think about CO2 emissions, I think about the production of a car, and it is relatively easy to calculate the emissions generated by the production. So how exactly does this work for the use of data? How can you measure it?
We don't have a lot of car production in Vejle, so we can't really relate to that. But we can relate to, I mean, everything we do is data today. Every time you buy something in the shop, it's data. Everything you do something online, it's data. So everything can be optimized. That can be optimized via digital solutions, for instance, where you can facilitate something that you do in your everyday life. Like, for instance, shopping solutions. We have a lot of shops in Vejle that offer home delivery. Some of them are based on, you know, where you help each other. It's not the shop that delivers, but someone that's going to a shop to, like, do the shopping for themselves. They can pick up an order for someone else that they need something. And then instead of that person going to the shop as well, maybe by car, only one person will go, and then we'll can drop off the items. And in that way, you not only save the energy consumption by you have to go and buy your car and two persons, but instead of one. You know, there are a lot of ways you can make your town or city greener.
Yeah. I mean, talking about the city and the town, it's not just the, let's say public sector itself, it's also private sector. So in every municipality, there are always private companies. I know in Germany, many companies now have to measure their emissions. What is it like in Denmark, and how exactly does the exchange between the public sector and the private sector work?
We have become more and more aware of the necessity of cooperating and collaborating with the private sector as a municipality, but also as a government and the state. Because if we only do it in the public sector alone, we will not have the same dynamic and the same results. I mean, as I said before, we're all connected, and everything is connected also by sector. It's not, we are not like silos living separately, but we have so much in common. We're doing a lot of actions together every day that relates to either public or private sectors. We have overlapping actions that we do. And that also pertains to the climate. As I said, in Vejle, we have quite a green strategy where we are involving not only citizens, but also companies to become more green. And that's also digital. There are a lot of digital solutions that they can use. They can, for instance, see how much trash they deliver to the recycling places. We have a lot of recycling. We have a lot of companies that are focused on creating green solutions. We have a lot of transport companies in Vejle, and they are very focused on going electric with their trucks and delivery systems. So there's a lot of collaboration and cooperation between not only the private sector, but also the public sector, which is a driver to make our environment greener.
I would completely agree, because you always need interactions and
yes.
something like this to make things work. Because if everybody does it for themselves, that's not going to work in the future. Speaking about the future, how does the future of Weiler looks like? How is the way of becoming a green municipality?
Oh, that's a big perspective, but we're doing everything we can. I mean, we have focus obviously on the climate in general, because we have a lot of flooding in Weiler. So we have to pay attention to how we treat the environment in general. And we are really adopting a lot of the good solutions and the best practices for not only the digital area, but also the green initiatives in general, since we are living by a fjord. We are doing a lot of work with that to reestablish living conditions for the fish, etc. And because we are also in the middle of a transport center, not only for obviously the traffic by wheel, but also the train, and we have the airport not far from here. So we have to think how to go greener constantly, and we have done that quite a long time in such a way that we have a very public dashboards of how our CO2 emissions are, and it's online, so everybody interested can see it and follow along as we're updating it.
Yeah, perfect. Just the last question, because in the Data for All project, we, of course, we always look on the common use between the countries as well. So how does an exchange between different countries work? What makes global, or maybe perhaps the initially, let's speak about the European climate neutral data usage. What makes it so difficult to make the data usage between European countries climate neutral?
I think one of the main issues are, or would be, the differences between, you know, in the way we organize our municipalities. It's very, very different, not only from, for instance, Denmark, but between Denmark and Belgium, let's say. It's very, very different. In Denmark, we have the municipalities have their right of decision, which means that they are like a country within the country. And that setup alone means that we can choose our own way of providing service to the public, including which digital solutions we use for a broad part of the spectrum. But obviously, we're using a lot of the state and the governmental solutions as well. But as a municipality, we have more or less the right to decide ourselves how we work. And I think maybe it's like that as well in some of the other European countries, which means that we will have a lot of different data formats, you know, the way we collect data, the way we share data. And that obviously becomes a problem when we are talking just looking at the energy companies. We have a lot of those in Denmark and everywhere in Europe, and they are all providing different kinds of data, not in a standardized way. And they're not in a aggregated, easy, same way as everybody else, which means that it becomes very difficult to use the data optimally and use it for something that where you can create some value. And that is unfortunately a big issue. So it's kind of related to our culture, the way we work in general, each country between the countries, but that also reflects in the way we collect data and use data.
Yeah, I guess standardization is the key to data usage.
It is.
Yeah, Gitte, thank you very much for enlightening us on how data is related to climate protection and climate change. I think it's very interesting for everybody to just remember, for me, for example, to plug out my coffee machine, maybe to plug out the Wi-Fi during night, and to show everybody how this is related to climate change, because in the end, everything that we do somehow is connected.
Yes, and everything is data.
Everything is data. Yeah, perfect. That are the final words of the podcast. Everything is data. I think this is the perfect ending. Gitte, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And that was all for this episode. If you'd like to hear more, subscribe to Data for All, A Quest for Digital Autonomy in the podcast app of your choice, such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or SoundCloud. And for any questions or suggestions, you can write to us at dataforall@boell-sh.de. The link is in the show notes.
Data for All. A quest for digital autonomy. A podcast from the Heinrich Böll Foundation, Schleswig-Holstein.